Oh, I could listen to that all day long. That is the Mingus Big Band. This was a band constituted after the passing of the great one, Charlie Mingus. And their specific purpose is to continue his work and to propagate his music. This is called Haitian Fight Song. And it's from their 1999 album, Blues and Politics. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and we're going to take a little diversion today from what I had set out to do. Our guest had been called away urgently on the assignment he was working on. And when that happens, you cannot prevent the reporter from doing his job. So he'll be here tomorrow. We'll be talking about the situation in Haiti, and we need to keep track of that. But before we go any further, I wish to extend my special salutations to those of you who are fathers, those of you who have stepped in to be fathers or stepped up to be fathers, and those of you who may not be fathers biologically, but you certainly are doing the work. I want to salute you and say it is great that you are functioning in that capacity in your families and in our communities. It's very, very important. I have no idea what would have become of our family, my family, had we not had such an extraordinary man as a father. And of course, an extraordinary woman as a mother. But this being Father's Day, I just want to say that I owe a great deal to both my parents. But my father truly was an extraordinary man, and in an ordinary way. He wasn't a flashy kind of guy. Just did his thing in a very cool, ordinary way, but there was no question that he placed above everything else the welfare and prosperity and success of his family. That was primary in his list of duties as he saw it. So we're all grateful to him. And he was a father to many as well. He was one of those people, and there was many such men that I grew up knowing, many such men, and they didn't make a big deal about it. They just went about doing the business of family leadership, community leadership, and I just hope that before long we can see examples of this multiplied all over this country, salvaging our broken up and broken down communities, putting people back together, charting a course, however imperfect, but putting themselves in charge of that and making it known. Making it very clear that as long as they are there, we can go about our business. They're taking care of things. That was, to me, the most extraordinary thing about the men in my town when I was growing up. No big set of fuss about anything. We need a school, let's build a school. So they built a school. And that's the way they dealt with things. They were also part of these organizations, fraternities. My father, for example, was of the, he belonged to the International Court of Foresters. And he was a Mason. You know, these are the kinds of things that you begin to understand how important they are in keeping communities together. All these men, when things needed to be done, they got them done. And everyone has authority over you. They see you doing something a little funky out there. They can correct you. They had permission to do so. So I remember all these fathers we grew up with in our little town, many of whom did not themselves have children, but they stepped up and they kept in their own way, they kept things going smoothly. And people knew that we had a kind of unofficial council that was watching over what was going on in our town. So every Father's Day, I remember them too. They were the fathers of our town. What I'd like to talk about today is just an extension of what we had started talking about, and that is this business of what do you think is the most important thing that people ought to know about US politics? What are the most important things that you think we ought to know? Because in knowing these things, we would know how to situate ourselves in terms of what we do, if we are going to do anything. What knowledge are we to operate with? It may sound like a very simple question, but it really isn't. What I'm asking you to do is to decipher for us the myths that have stood for so long that condition all of us to have a particular attitude or a particular disposition about this thing called politics. We think we know what it is and what it's supposed to do. Do we know the right thing? What is it about politics? Because everybody seems to know what it is. But then when you ask them, well, what is it supposed to be? What is it supposed to do? And you get a stunning silence. So let's break this silence today and go after some answers. Insofar as you yourself understand the question, what must we know? What should we know about politics in the United States? Now we have two numbers, 888-874-4888, and an additional number, 646-922-8391. 646-922-8391. You're going to tell us, you're going to decipher for us what it is we ought to know about politics because we seem so confused about it. We seem not to understand it, and then there's the other extreme in which we seem to understand it so very well. But of course, when you ask people, what would you say is the most important thing that we need to understand about US politics? It is a political season, as you know, leading into the presidential race of 2020. But it isn't the only level of politics that we concern ourselves with. Politics is statewide, politics is local, politics is all over the place. So much of our lives are governed by political decisions, political actions, and yet we are inclined not to see them as such. We are, in fact, pretty much told or, you know, instructed as to when to be political and when not to be political. And whose politics is it anyway? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you something else? What is that something else? How did you get there? How did you get to something else when the whole rest of the country is bifurcated? Democrat, Republican. Why is it important to understand your politics? Number one, it's because we don't give much thought to it. We seem to function by some osmosis or remote control or something, but we really don't give thought to the idea of our own politics. How do we formulate our own politics? How did we get there, those of you who believe you have a strong political identity? But most importantly, I'm asking you, what is the most important thing to understand about U.S. politics? Because in understanding that most important thing, you have a handle on a bunch of other things that won't confuse you. Other people will be confused. Other people would be seeking answers. And you would be calm because you've already done that work. You've already figured it out. It isn't whether you're right or wrong. It is that you've invested some time in thinking about it, and you've come to a conclusion, whether people agree with you or not, but you have done that work, and you are satisfied that you understand certain things that you adhere to, that you accept as true and correct about U.S. politics. Ma'at, you are going to start us off today. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. We love you, Eutrice, and greetings to the beloved African descended family. First of all,
but only
I
to
think
the African descended family.
Well, we seem to be in a pickle, so that's why I put it like that. You know, especially with what you've been saying lately about community. We don't even know where to start. But as to your question or concern or thesis, it's like we forget just in many ways what this country really is and represents. And Donald Trump is just more of a symptom than a cause. And let me just use one example. I was listening to a radio program, probably on BAI, and someone called in. I think it was the Waking Up Show. Someone called in and mentioned an important book called The Devil's Chessboard. The CIA, Allen Dulles, et cetera, et cetera. We forget that we don't have answers. And I had gotten the book some time ago, and I pulled it off my shelf and started to read it finally. We forget that Martin Luther King, as brought out by Attorney William Pepper, and others, JFK, Malcolm X, those people were deliberately taken down for what we cannot have not been able to heal in this society.
You're kind of off track. I see where you're going, but I want you to come to the discussion directly. What, therefore, in your view, are some of the extraordinarily important truths that a person should at least consider when it comes to U.S. politics?
It really deals with the truth, and we have it writ large in steroids right now. And this is why those of us who think that the Democrats had some answer in terms of can't figure out, you need to put the stain of impeachment. Donald Trump can't even say the word, and he says all kinds of vulgarities, but he refers to it as the I word. He doesn't want to be in the company of Clinton and Andrew Johnson. Okay?
And all right, I'm going to try it a little differently. You're giving us examples of how in certain areas politics is playing out. But could you give us a template so that when issues become political in nature, we can recall certain things about this system that would cause us to be very careful about jumping to conclusions?
Can I give you a template?
Can you tell me something that is so innate in U.S. politics? We don't see it because it's so innate. It's part of us. But what would you say those things might be?
I think it deals with why I love my name, my hat. Because it doesn't deal with truth, justice, right, or balance. And it seemed like it's taking a freight train or a supersonic jet in the opposite direction of all that the comedic goddess Mayat represents and represented. And it's getting way, way worse.
Well, you've gotten us started today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
From Rosedale, you're on the air. What do you think?
Greetings, my professor.
Thank you so much, and to you too. Now, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think should be understood? It doesn't matter whether people think you're right or wrong. I just want to know, what is your understanding and analysis and that allows you to go about your business in this country we live in, understanding certain things about U.S. politics? What would you say some of those things are?
Well, to begin with, I find this country has a place of enormous contradictions. And I was never confused about the politics of this country, because I find we as Africans in America, I consider us Africans in America. I don't go through this ritual of talking about who's an African-American and who's Afro this and Afro that. Once we are here living under this system here, as people with the blood of Africa coursing through our veins, we are Africans in America, because the system that has been developed here for us, it is for all of us. It is one size fits all. They're not distinguishing who came from the Caribbean, who came from here or whatever. They see African people, and the plan is aimed at us. That I've established a long time ago. I'm not confused about the political system, because I know that where we are concerned, we are pawns in this political system. We are not even trying to understand it or trying to put up a resistance to the system. We have all acquiesced. So many of the leadership that we have had that looks like us, that we spend our time, some of us even campaign for them and put them in office thinking that they are there in the interest of us. People, they came from the womb of suffering women, brave, gallant women, black women, and they have turned on us like the traitors that they are. So they are beholden to a system. The system takes precedence over everything, including their own interest. They don't know that they're working against their own interest. They think they are working against only our interest at the behest of their masters. But the system has a way of making them conformist. And far too many of them, we have had so many officials, elected officials that looks like us. And we, when we think that they would be there understanding the nature of what we have been through, the pain and the suffering that they are coming from, and they would have a better understanding. I understand all white people think. And whites always think race first. No matter what goes down, white people think race first. You might have some of them that they don't want to take us out in one sweep. They might want to do it piecemeal. But the aim of all of them is world domination of people of color. And this is what I understand about the system. So I have no misunderstanding about what we are dealing with. And while we are here trying to figure out what is happening to us, the system is constantly working against our interests. We see it every day. Last night I was listening to a program, and they were talking about what is happening in Trinidad and Tobago now, with the influx of the folks from Venezuela running from their country because of what the imperialist invading nations have been doing to our people all over. And I said to them last night that here's it, you're talking about the hardship that is happening in Trinidad and Tobago, and it is creating problems with the native people in Trinidad and Tobago. But no one has once mentioned why these people are fleeing their countries. I explained to them that Venezuela has money right here in this country. It has money all over Europe. And they need the money to buy medicine and food for their people. But because of the system that we live under, that love to talk about freedom and democracy and all those things, they are putting a kind of pain on people. They have no regard as to the damage that they are doing to these people. And they were willing to starve them to death to get to control another nation's resources. And we have yet to have those discussions. Not in our community are so dumbed down. They know nothing of what is happening, how the same system has reached all the way to the African continent, wherever, and it is wreaking so much havoc. There was a time,
knowing these things and these facts, as you see them becoming part of your daily arsenal, could you give us an example of how you have applied what you know, or what you think you know even, to your life, your daily life?
Example a moment ago, right? I try to spread the gospel, so to speak. Right? Wherever I go, I join organizations that I consider progressive organizations that are doing things in our community, right? And are expanding the minds of our people, right? I'm a member of the UNIA, member of the Jamaica Progressive League, and many other organizations. The league is an organization over 80 years old. that helped to bring about our so-called independence in Jamaica and all these other things and so on and so forth. So, like, and I listen to programs when I hear people talking things. That makes absolutely no sense. They're not getting to the meat of the issue. And I brought the folks last night to thinking to as to why people would leave their homeland. And you see it on the African continent. People are leaving in these boats. So many tens of thousands of lives are being lost in the ocean. And then they're asking, why are these people fleeing? These same corruptees, in the African continent and the Caribbean, that are there fleecing their people at the behest of this country here that talks about democracy and rule of law and all those foolishness. And I try to bring them into reality to let them know that there's a reason why people do certain things. Because it is not on the agenda. Nobody talks about it. And these are what you call the sharecropping radio programs that we have in our community. They are busy. They're like, infomercial. They're busy advertising the next set, the next jump up, and some Obia man or something where you can go and solve all your problems. And the church, these are the type of stuff that we are getting in our community. So if we don't have programs such as yours, and some coming from BAI and so forth, we don't get any proper information about community. So I, as an evangelist of truth, when I go out there, I try to involve, to engage our people and let us think a different way, apart from the way that they've been spoon-fed by these media systems that we have that is there doing nothing but polluting the minds of our people and dumbing us down and making us more ignorant and stupid than we should have been.
All
and
right.
That is what I've given my life to. And as long as I'm here, before the master called me through the pearly gates, that is what I intend to continue to do, my professor.
Well, it seems as if you have a clear understanding, whether people agree or not,
mm-hmm.
You have a clear understanding of what politics involves in the United States. And
yes.
And elsewhere.
Yes.
But the point I'm making is your understanding clearly is as a result of an investment you have made as well in
yes.
study, in getting involved locally. So you have your expertise and experience comes from a very comprehensive way of looking at how systems work,
yes,
and don't work. So
yes.
That is gold. That is gold. You
and I credit you also, my professor, for because I've been in your classroom for many years. I might not graduate summa cum laude and all those things, but I believe I will graduate.
Oh no, no question. You're a graduate student. No question about it. Thanks, Jose, for your call today. Donald from Georgia, what is your view about on this question? What would you, let's say you're encountering people for the first time and you want to tell them something particularly important that they need to know about politics in the United States?
You probably won't want to hear it, but my teacher, a late and great Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben Yochanan said, the word is power. Without it, you have nothing. Politics in America, like everything else, is power. If you don't have power, you really don't have anything. You can have your opinions, your dreams, all this, that, and the other, but you'll never be able to implement them. And what's the use of having something if you can't implement it?
So how do you have power? I should ask you first, do you have power?
I have limited power. And limited power, I have my mindset. That's all. I have my mindset. When I try to express it, then I get in trouble. Just like because I can talk to you about it. I can talk to five, six people about it. The government won't pay any attention. But as soon as other folks start spouting what I tell them about, then they start looking. And then they start setting up restrictions. You know, just like the lady talked about, well, they killed Kennedy, they killed Malcolm, they killed, sure they did. That's power. We need economic power. We need brain power. We need power to feed ourselves. We need political power. And I'm not talking about just voting all the time. I'm talking about political power, understanding your politics in your community. And above all, we need military power. And that's very important. We have none. All we have is religious power. Our people are very religious, so they say. When I come into contact, when I talk to a lot of people, they tell me, well, you know, don't worry about it. Just God's going to take care of it. And I say, no, God's not going to take care of nothing. He doesn't listen to this nonsense we're talking about. He gave us an able body to take care of our own stuff. We pray to God once we've done everything we could. And I tell them, we need power. And I try to support everything that's progressive within the black community and outside the black community. I try to understand what's going on by listening to the young folks. And on Facebook, I even got Facebook friends in Venezuela. I mean, not Venezuela, but Brazil and all other countries. I'm trying to understand so I can keep up. But if we don't have power, and that's I swear, I don't hear black folks talking about that. We need power. And when they do talk about power, they say, oh, yes, we need love power. No. We need power.
Could you give us an example, Donald, of this power that you're talking about, how you think it is best expressed, and what would the consequence be if people move into power?
Okay, well, let me put it this way for economic power. Right now, we supposed to spend $1 trillion. $0.03 to $0.05 is the most that we spend among each other. 95% of the money is with somebody else. So suppose we kept 10 or 15% for 1 year among ourselves. That would be a drastic change. I mean, it would be a drastic change. And with that, we could do so many things. We could build our own schools. We could have our own farms, own businesses where we can hire each other, we can feed each other, you know. And when we see that accomplishment there, then we want to spend maybe 20-25%. And Lord knows, we're on our way. We could buy our own politicians. We could stop the police from killing us. I mean, we could do so many things. But we don't think about power. We think about getting along. And they won't make it. They won't make it, in my opinion.
So power, as you see it, is the key to understanding U.S. politics.
Power is not only
the absence of power or the attainment of power, one way or the other.
Right. Power, look, power to me, in my opinion, is the key to life. When you eating food, it takes power to smash your teeth so you can smash the food. It takes power to swallow. Power is a necessity of life. It goes through everything. And this one thing we don't talk about. I don't know why we're afraid to talk about it. As I stated before, once we get economic power, once they see us on the way, we're going to have to fight. The ruling elite will not let you attain real power without a fight. And the point is, do we have that fight in us? Do we stay away from the word power because we are afraid? Do we claim that we're waiting on God to come back because we are afraid? But that's what we need. We won't, for some reason, we won't want to face that.
So this you see as one of the bedrocks of understanding how this country is run politically, what informs its political, its policies and political decisions.
Yes,
and
power.
And you, now, just to, let me ask you one more question. How is power, the power that you're talking about, how is it linked to politics?
Power is politics. Politics is a war with that war with words. And you have power, or the threat of power, to enforce them. That's why come those Negroes, the sister was talking about selling the South. That's why they do that. That's why Obama did what he did. If he went in wanting to do the things right, he know he'll have a bullet in his head, just like Kennedy. Politics is enforced by raw power, just like in Venezuela. They're doing their thing with they got the money in the banks over here. They put in sanctions. They do this everywhere. Foreign policy is nothing, in my opinion, is nothing but an extension of domestic policy. That's why they keep intimidating us. Police kill us every other day. Power. And see, what got me was when those two, that brother shot those two police about 2 years ago up in New York. And then newspapers came out and came down. No, what the newspaper was afraid of, that some other black folks might do the same thing, and something would start in this country. So they demonized those brothers, and those Negro responsible Negro leaders came out and condemned it too. One thing they don't want black people to think about is power. We're
okay.
Nobody.
Well, you have made it clear to us today, and I thank you for calling and contributing. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, David? Okay, did we lose him? All right, David, try calling back, because I thought you were on, but you're not. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Alternatively, 646-922-8391. Now, there's one thing I absolutely agree with Donald on, and that's that we are terrified to even ask a question, let alone answer it. When we are considering this matter of politics, we go with the popular flow. Whether we generated the ideas or the rationales being discussed, it doesn't matter. We just go with whatever is said. We have a presidential race coming up. They will tell us what they want us to know. And what they want us to know will be a very important factor in our political choices. You see? So the beginning of a decision didn't actually start with us, because we are being conditioned all the time about what to think, who is right, which is the best way, which is the better party. That's going on all the time. Very seldom do we sit quietly or take a moment to plumb our own minds to find out what is it that we are thinking. What are the experiences that we have that shape our political point of view? You see, we don't think about that. We get told what to think, and we accept that as the norm. People we, quote, trust, unquote, they tell us what to think. And then we think that. And if they think we ought to vote for Joe Dokes, we go ahead and vote for Joe Dokes. But you ask a person to define specifically what was the thinking behind your vote, you'd have a rough time being specific about it. That is truly a tragedy in our communities. That's why they call us the masses. It's derisive, in my view, to use that word, the masses. Meaning people who don't think for themselves. People who have no opinion for themselves. People who do not examine the whys and wherefores for what it is they end up doing and thinking. We are lemmings. We're told, go vote for Peter Pokes over there because he's got the most money in this campaign and he is sure to win. As if that has anything to do with a rational examination of what he stands for. They tell us Mary Mokes is the person to elect because she's a feminist and she's going to get all these feminist agenda items taken care of. But what if, in our view, that is not a number one priority? People would say, what are you saying, that taking care of issues related to women is not a high priority? No, I'm saying, always remember, there is no one history of the United States. There is no one culture of the United States. People, from the way this country evolved, and that's what I mean by getting a fix on all these things, your political perspective should entail an examination of how this country developed. What were the driving forces and thoughts and policies in this country since it officially was born? I told people all the time, my version necessarily is different from your version of history and is very legitimate to me. I'm not going to subsume my factual documented history to something that people make up and put in a book and say, well, this is really what we should all accept as history. No. History seldom is written from the point of view of the conquered. And because it's written from the point of view of the conqueror, you necessarily have to watch out for all these traps that are laid there. People say, well, if it wasn't true, it wouldn't be printed. I could show you a ton of books that no one in their right mind would read. Because you get an infection from reading books that are predicated on certain premises that if the intention was to seek the truth, that book would never see the light of day. And I'm asking these questions to prod you and poke you and myself. I'm not exceptional here. To re-examine what it is we're doing. If we can't justify or explain the premise behind it, why do we still continue talking about it? Ed from Queens, what are you saying?
Hello, Utrecht. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. Hello? How are you?
I'm all right. Good to hear from you again. Always a pleasure. Bringing it back to the subject that you first mentioned at the beginning of the show, what politics means as far as a personal experience To me, one phrase always comes to mind: all politics is local. And but as far as politics in this country, it's a way of dividing up the resources amongst the people of the country. So, from a practical standpoint, as far as I'm concerned, all politics is local, because that's where you can have your greatest effect working on a local level. As far as national politics, that's a buildup, but you have to start with a ground base. Number two, realizing that politics is the way that resources are divvied up in this country, based on your representation and your ability to exercise the limited power that you have in this country. And foremost, you got to remember, Calvin Coolidge said it nearly 100 years ago, and it's still true today: the business of America is business. Unfortunately, we live in a capitalist society, and how business is affected and how resources are allocated and how politics work all share the same bailiwick, so to speak. So you've got to keep those things in mind to have a practical idea on how to best serve your community. Work locally, try to influence the local offices and the local laws in your area, and then once you've done that, you can establish a base to move nationally, i.e. the Tea Party. Their politics started local. They took over local offices. They controlled redistricting. They controlled how political areas were drawn up. And that, over a period of time with a plan, that gave them power. So for me, all politics are local. Realize what politics is, the allocation of resources among communities, and always have a plan. Slogans and personalities don't count. Ideas and community needs count, and those have to be paramount if you want to have, in my opinion, if you want to have a practical political approach.
Okay, using your explanation, how would you say it applies to a group, an insular group, like the Amish?
The Amish have separated themselves from the political system, as far as I'm concerned. They're self-sufficient.
But it doesn't cancel out the fact that they do have power. They have a lot of power, but it's not screaming at you, but they have a lot of power.
They're not buying
electricity from the city. They're not going through the court system. They're not going through the educational system. They have built their own. So if it is your view that it is a capitalist society and you're talking money, how do you explain the success of the Amish in doing for themselves what they have been doing for many, many years now?
Well, it goes to community. Like you're always talking about, a healthy community. If you have a healthy community and you have a plan and a basic rocking plan,
you need to talk a little bit more directly into the phone because we're not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. You need to have, like you say, about community. The Amish example is an example of a community with a definite purpose and a definite goal and a plan. If you're going to work within the political system, you have to have a plan. You have to have a definite goal. And there are rules in this system that if you're going to play the game, you got to play by the rules. You can work around the rules, but you have to have an understanding of what the rules are to play in the game. The Amish have eliminated themselves from the game, but they have a understanding that they are a community, that they are a force, and that by unifying and having a common goal, that's what gives them power. They can live outside the grid because they're interdependent, and that gives them self-reliance. If that's the tack you want to take, which is there's nothing wrong with that, but most people don't have the wherewithal to sacrifice the way the Amish do.
Well, you see, there are different methods that people take in approaching this question about power. And theirs was to remove themselves from society because they think that society itself comes with too many drawbacks for the way they want to live and the values they have. So they remove themselves. And they grow their own crops. They have their own businesses. They, as I said, they don't even buy water from the state or the city. They have their own water.
Yeah, but they have a commitment. They're willing to make the sacrifice. I mean, you can't separate yourself from society if you're willing to make the sacrifice and learn the skills that you need to separate yourself from society. I got a military background. I've been camping and things like that as a young child. And there's a skill set that you have to live that type of lifestyle. And most people don't have the internal discipline to acquire those skills. Very few people know how to, for example, kill an animal and cut out the internal organs and make it edible. Very people know how to grow anything. And these are skills that you would need if you would really want to separate from the political system at large and have your own independence. And most people don't want to make the sacrifice. That's the problem. I mean, if you're willing to make the sacrifice, if the lights turned off now, how many people would know what to do? If there was a solar flare or something, like that, how many people would know what to do? I mean, very few. Very few.
Well, it's true. It's true. There's no denying that.
Yeah.
So summarize for us, what is the most important thing that we need to understand about American politics?
American politics, like I said, all politics are local. And for me, that is the most fundamental fact. You can get caught up in the national, presidential, all these other races. But the fundamental fact is you gotta develop your own community. You've got to develop your own platform with a group of people. And you've got to stick to that platform and work towards focusing on shoring up your community. And then you can move out. I mean, the perfect example is the Tea Party. Over a 10-year, 15-year period, these people took over local offices. They controlled redistricting. They put the people that they wanted in key positions. And that's how they maintain power. You've got to start with a basis. And that's the only way you can work in this system. You can't go half cock without a plan. All politics is local. Have a clear platform and a clear plan. And don't get caught up in all of this Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. The only thing, like Amos Wilson gave a speech, and he basically, I'm paraphrasing him, but what he said was that he said, "Well, the community needs never change, but alliances can change. Your needs are paramount. What your community needs to survive. Your alliances can change."
All right. Well, that music means things have come to an end for today. And we'll join each other again tomorrow and continue talking to each other. Thanks for today. Bye-bye.